Chapter 11. Winter Turns to Spring by Walter Hartwright. The next day, I returned to London. I was so happy to see Marion and Laura when they opened the front door. Marion looked tired and worried, but Laura looked much better than when I had left. Later, when Laura had gone to bed, Marion and I talked. I explained everything that had happened. "I am still determined to save Laura's identity," I told Marion. "Sir Percival Glyde is dead, and the Count is now the only person who can help me to do that. I don't care if it's dangerous. I will do anything that I have to." The next day, we told Laura that Sir Percival Glyde was dead. From that day onwards, we did not mention his name again. We returned to our simple way of life, and over the winter I carried on drawing to make money for us to pay the rent and eat. Many months passed like this, but I never forgot about my promise to return Laura's identity to her. I also still wanted to find out who Anne's father was, as I suspected it could be an important piece of information. I remembered what Mrs. Clements had told me about Mrs. Catherick, that before she was married, she had worked at Varneck Hall for Major Donthorne. I wrote to Major Donthorne and asked him several questions. In the letter, I told him I was asking the questions for Marion, who was studying her family history. 2 days later, I received a reply and the information I had asked for. Major Donthorne did not know the late Sir Percival Glyde of Blackwater Park, who had never been to Varneck Hall. Having looked at old letters and diary entries, Major Donthorne said that there had only been one visitor to Varneck Hall in the autumn of 1826, and it was the late Mr. Philip Fairley, Laura's father. Mr. Philip Fairley had been a very close friend of Major Donthorne and had stayed at Varneck Hall many times before he married. On this visit, he stayed at the hall for 3 months, from August to October of 1826. At this time, Mrs. Catherick had been working at Varneck Hall. We knew that Anne had been born in June of 1827, and that Anne had always looked incredibly similar to Laura. Marion had also said that Laura looked very much like her father, who had been a very handsome, funny, popular man. Indeed, before he had married Laura's mother, he had been known for his charm with women. I now strongly suspected that he was Anne's father. There was only about a year's difference in age between Anne and Laura. So if I was right, then Mr. Philip Fairley must have married Laura's mother very soon after returning from Varneck Hall in the autumn of 1826. I thought for a moment about the last time I had seen Anne Catherick. It was at Mrs. Fairley's grave, the woman she had loved so much. It was strange to think of her buried there now, in the family grave, where perhaps she belonged. 4 months passed. April came, the month of spring, change and hope. Marion was more relaxed, and Laura was so much better too. She still had no memory of those terrible times at Blackwater Park, and talking about them upset her deeply. However, every day she became more like the charming, joyful Laura I had first met at Limeridge, and we started to enjoy our time together again. I decided that we all needed a little holiday, so we went to the south coast for 3 weeks. While we were there, I knew that the time had come for me to ask Laura to marry me. First, I asked Marion if she felt that Laura was well enough. I told her that Laura's inheritance was gone and that she may never have her true identity returned to her, but that I wanted to be her husband whatever happened. Marion was delighted and agreed that the time was right. She went immediately to get Laura and bring her to me. What a day! I was so nervous as I waited to see Laura, but I need not have worried. She came running into the room full of happiness and energy. "My darling," she said, "so are we allowed to say that we love each other now?" She threw her arms around me and held me close, saying, "I am so happy." 10 days later, we were even happier. We were married.